from HWR headquarters. It's the 285th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
Thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you are joining us live, thank you so much. You can play along with us. All you have to do is log into your YouTube or Google account, and then you can join us in the live chat. And I'll have it pulled up here on my old handy-dandy smartphone. And if I see your comment, I will try to incorporate the best I can in the show. So go in there, say hi, ask us questions, talk shit, fact check us, whatever. I'll try to get you in. So that being said, if you're not watching us live, that's okay. Catching us on the replay, that's cool too. Leave a comment down below. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe and turn on the notifications. That way you know when we go on next time. You know, it's every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Eight-ish.
Yeah, eight-ish. We were a little late today. if you're, you could also get a hold of us on Facebook, Facebook Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio, or on the Instagram, Houston Wrestling Radio. So, no Chris?
No Chris.
Shit.
Hey, watch out, man.
I gotta turn down the volume on your phone.
Turn up for what?
Yes. Yeah, no Chris?
No problem.
No problem. We have a little bit of a Lucha House party, homemade guacamole. See, yeah.
Holy guacamole, one of those days.
Yes. Mission Blue Corn Organic tortilla chips because we're a bunch of hipsters.
And because, see?
Yes.
What a week. It was kind of a weird week.
Mm-hmm.
It was in London, so it's always weird when they go to London. A lot of kind of cool shit, kind of like the whole Raw after Mania feel. It's a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
But, man, the WWE did a pretty solid job editing. Because
editing out the weird shit?
Yeah, because it was taped like maybe a couple hours. Not too long after, but a few hours before. Mm-hmm. So they had time to like edit something out. A couple, choices they made to not edit out Roman's booze, but to kind of like... not but quiet them down a little bit, but not edit them out.
Do you think that's cool. What happened? You think they quieted it down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You could tell throughout the night, a couple of times, the audio would be like, and it would like, it would mess up.
Okay. But we know all about that here at Houston Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. That's on the reg.
Audio fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
Michael. What's up, Michael?
Michael Whoa. Network.
Michael Network.
Oh.
He says he's all in Peyton Royce. giggity.
All in, man. Sold the fuck out.
Yeah. One third of us is going. Yeah. Chris got himself the tickets.
Yeah.
When is it? September or something?
I don't know.
He got tickets to All In. He's going to go along with Scott the Scott, our friend Scott the Scott. Cool. I guess we'll hear about that whenever he decides that he wants to come back on the show. He said he's taking a break.
Yeah.
He's taking a break.
He said it's not us, it's him.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, so All In, I mean, I don't really know what else to say about that. I mean, I'm not really all that excited for it, I guess, because I'm not going.
Maybe.
But I don't know. You saw the stuff about, like, Punk and all that, and, like, honestly, that doesn't even excite me because I'm like, I've been teased so much with Punk. And when we saw Punk come back for UFC, it was
bad. And he's going to have another fight in a couple weeks.
So what the hell is he going to do with this All In? Like, I don't care. And... like, the Bullet Club stuff is cool, obviously, no matter if it's ROH in New Japan or whatever, or their own fucking show, I'm sure that's going to be cool. But I don't know, man. I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling hype yet for it. I just need to wait?
Yeah, you need to wait. They'll pan out the storylines by July. You know, July and August, it'll be around that time. I think it'll be a little bit – if it's in September, it's after SummerSlam. If it's in August, it'll be around SummerSlam. I should really look that up before we start talking about it more. But – I don't feel like doing that anymore. But, it should be some badass build. It should be some really good matches. Everyone – it's on it so far. That's really interesting. So,
yeah,
it'll be cool. And it's just, like, cool to see, like – Cody Rhodes in 2018 being able to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a pretty big deal. 10,000 people. I saw that Meltzer said that last year, TakeOver Chicago did 8,000 people on the All-State Arena.
Really?
Yeah, 8.
And they're doing 10.
And they're doing 10 and not the All-State Arena. Not even in Chicago. It's like fucking the Woodlands to Houston, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like 30 or 40 minutes away from Chicago.
I didn't know that.
but, yeah, still, dude, that's DIY as fuck, and then it got done. Mm. And it's fucking cool. And
yeah, so, I mean, definitely congrats are in order for them, but
that's what I was trying to say last year about, like, people saying, oh, Bullet Club and New Japan taking over. It's not. Dude, it's just a plethora of wrestling there is right now. That's more than anything. And it's working individually, like, working, like, not sabotaging each other. Like, WWE hopefully isn't going to do all in, like, the competition, you know, nothing something stupid. Because the benefits in having, you know, because, you know, you don't get where people like Chris are burnt the fuck out from all the WWE-ness.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Michael says this in the live chat. I'm more excited for Dominion, NXT TakeOver Chicago, and Money in the Bank than All In.
That's perfect because they're pretty much in order.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how you should be. That's the WWE and everybody else doing their job.
Yeah.
Your priorities are good in order mentally.
Yeah.
Plus, because we have like 5 weeks until Money in the Bank, so it's still a while away. So yeah. There's the build-up. But fuck, the men's ladder match is pretty much always set.
Yeah, we only have like, well, 1.5 more people to decide. Because the New Day, well, are we jumping ahead now on SmackDown? I don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah.
Should we go back to Raw?
Yeah, let's go back to Raw. Are we going to start with, or you want to start with NXT?
Well, we're on Raw.
Whatever. Yeah, this
no, whatever.
That Raw pulled up on my phone.
Okay, this is what happens when Chris doesn't show up, because he's the one who usually organizes stuff.
He's the peanut butter, we're the jelly. So yeah, Roman comes out, gets booed out of the arena, wants a rematch, wants to be in the Money in the Bank. Angle's like, nah.
Right.
But Jinder Mahal is gonna get a chance. What the fuck?
Don't hit your ear.
He brings up the whole management thing, which is I don't like it. It's like what they did to get Stone Cold over, but Roman is just a whole different animal than Stone Cold. I can understand that they use this, which they did, against CM Punk, the authority, the best of business and all that shit, people power and all that stuff, and D-Bry with the authority. But him and management, you can't – that's like John Cena saying management screwing him over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not going to work. It just – maybe it'll fly in WWE's minds, but to nerds like us, it's not flying. It's
like, kids don't care about management because they don't know about that kind of stuff yet. And then the rest of us, we don't see Roman as an anti-establishment guy because
he is the establishment guy.
Yeah, exactly. He is the establishment guy. And also it's like really hard to kind of fit that square peg into that round hole. Like, oh, this is how we're going to get him over, brother. Like, no, it's not.
No.
Whatever.
But I got to add that as apathetic as I kind of am towards this feud, I'm kind of digging it, Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns.
Is it because of Mahal?
It's because of Mahal. But it's not because of Roman. He's not doing a bad job. He's being, you know, what he needs to be. But Mahal is just providing that little
thing. I love how he threw that Singh brother at him.
just the whole backstage with Angle and the trainers and then just getting fucking speared through a cardboard fucking wall. It was cool, and it's interesting. I'm in. You know, fuck it. You got 5 more weeks to chill or build up more of a story.
Yeah, that backstage segment was kind of cool. The initial beatdown and that showing was cool. Showing them later.
Yeah.
In the trainer's room, Jinder showing them in the trainer's room. That was cool. I don't know about tackling them through the cardboard. That was like jumping the shark a little bit.
Yeah, it was. But
it's like WWE is kind of doing this interesting thing where it's like, excuse me, who do you want to boo more? Do you want to boo Roman more? Or do you want to boo Jinder more?
They're smart.
For my money, I'm cheering Jinder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I have like, personal reasons why. But that's just me. But I mean, I'd rather Jinder, than Roman. But then again, I try to be very, 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 very hard to make sure or be very careful to make sure that I don't.
I'll tell you this much. The guy in a deli in Midtown Manhattan is going for Roman. It's a joke with the guy who races guy online right now. But yeah, it's easy to say gender is going to be booed out of the building because of
he's
a red-blooded American like the Samoan machine is.
Right.
So
American Samoa. American so he's more American.
Yes. Yes.
America.
America. Match of the week candidate.
Oh.
Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens.
I'll give you that one.
Seth Rollins is just on. He's on a roll, dude. He's on a fucking roll. Everything he is touching is, he's like, he's got the Midas touch right now.
Yeah.
Everything. There's not a segment that he's been on that has not been good in the past 2 months solid. Excuse me. Yeah, but it was really fucking badass. The crowd was really into it. The move skit, the move set was really good. They both have high flying yet power moves at the same time. They both have killer frog splashes.
They do. I love the bullfrog splash.
Yeah, I love the bullfrog splash too. I love the frog splash that Seth did, but Kevin's caught him and rolled him up. That was fucking awesome. The Falcon arrow on the apron was badass. Yeah. Oh god, that was a fucking good spot. Mm-hmm. It was a solid ass match. And then the fucking I love so Seth Rollins is playing the whole 1995 Shawn Michaels of like, I'm a fighting champion and I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna just take the fucking the count out win.
Right.
He was baiting. He bringing him in. And he was fucking. He was did two back to back fucking suicide dives.
Yeah.
And then brought him in. Waited till he was crossing the fucking ropes to fucking curb stomp his ass. And that was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
It was badass, dude. I love the match. And it was a really good segment.
I think it was a really good match too. I'm willing to give it a match of the weekend to see as well. It's not my pick. But yeah, it was a really, really good match. But I wonder how much of that is gonna take for people to care about the Intercontinental title and care about Seth. Because I see Seth come out and I'm like, oh yay. But I'm not like, oh, hell yeah. I'm not excited for Seth. Mm. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's cool.
The crowd begs to differ. Okay. The crowds are over as fuck for Seth. Everyone loves saying Burn It Down first.
That's true.
And then just the song pumps out, and then he just provides quality fucking matches. He doesn't have to talk that much on the mic, which is good.
Yeah.
When he's a heel, he's badass on the mic. When he's a face, he's not that good. But that's okay. That's okay. Just like AJ Styles. You know, I mean, he's okay as a face, fucking fire as a heel.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You bust a Chris Benoit and let your fucking wrestling speak for you.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
But that's the point I was going to try to make. For the open challenges, that did something for Cena. Because before the open challenges, Cena was all five moves of doom and all he sucks in the ring and this and that. Then he started throwing out these open challenges, having badass matches with all these other technicians on the card, all of a sudden, oh, damn, Cena's not that bad in the ring. But Seth is already there. Nobody's doubting Seth as far as, like, his wrestling ability.
Yeah.
So him having badass matches with random people isn't really going to elevate him anymore. It's like, well, okay, we know you're good at that. So
I think it will, but I'll bring back the Shawn Michaels thing. Shawn Michaels was always fighting. He was always, that's why I love Shawn Michaels so much. We always saw him. He was the exact opposite of Brock Lesnar. You know, he's always fighting. He was like Punk. Every Monday he was out there, you know, defending the title or at least wrestling. And that's what Seth is doing. And I think I've heard him at least twice take a couple jabs at Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's going to intertwine.
Yeah. You know, you're sitting right there and behind his sunglasses, Bret Hart's glaring at you for bringing up Shawn Michaels so much.
He took the money. So
Shawn didn't take the money?
Yes.
Right. Whatever. Okay. What about the women? The women on Raw. What happened there with that?
Two segments. Yeah, two segments.
All right.
One was a kind of a throwaway, but not a Riot Squad versus Sasha, Ember and Natty.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a pretty solid match. Everyone had their thing going on. Everyone looked good. The Riot Squad still, I mean, I would say Riot Squad, they're on the tier system. Ruby Riot, bam.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan, hey, she's excitable.
Sarah Logan's
there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she hasn't been really doing much. She doesn't do much.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's there. That's fine. You got to have a third guy, you know, a third person. Yeah. She hasn't blossomed yet.
I think I said this last week or maybe the week before, that they're starting to do what I wanted Absolution to do, which is become a little bit more homogenous, you know, become a little bit more like each other.
Yeah.
And the it's just small things, man. Like the blue
The tongue?
Yeah, the blue tongue in Liv. Like, that's more like punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not seeing punk, but just like, you know, punky thing to do.
Punk rock,
could,
yeah.
Yeah, she could be a little bit more like glam punk.
Yeah.
Whereas Ruby's more like regular traditional punk. And then, like, I don't know, Sarah could be like country punk, you know?
I love the, like you say, little things. I love the little walk up and then scoot back and then slide in. I love that. There's little things like that about them that they're giving me hope. But Liv, I've always said from NXT, she's good in the ring. She's a little underrated, green, but has potential. And I see it. She took that sharpshooter really well.
Yeah,
it was really good. No, it was solid.
Yeah.
And the other we had a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Mm-hmm. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley and Mickey.
Because they were teaming up.
Yeah, they were teaming up, and I just love whenever Bayley's in the UK because they do the Bayley My Girl song.
Yeah,
and they're really good with her. But Bayley and Alexa. What sucked about their feud last year was not the wrestling. I'll give it that.
Okay.
It was the storylines and the stupid acting. But in ring, them two, they click well.
Okay.
And Mickey's just a fucking legend, so she can hang with anybody still.
Mickey's been good.
Yeah,
like I've never not liked Mickey.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times where I wish I'd do something more with her as far as storyline goes, but I've always liked her as a competitor.
Yeah.
In that particular match, I do like how Mickey, I think, was the first one to turn on Alexa. And then Alexa was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then they, like, rinse, repeat, and did it over and over again, where they're, like, friends and then not friends and then friends and not friends.
Yeah.
And they were both stabbing each other in the back like good heels.
Yeah.
And I kind of dug that more than I cared anything about fucking the other one, Bayley.
Yeah.
The other one.
Bayley took a sick-ass DDT for the win.
Match of the candidate?
Nah, but it was a good, what's it called? Whenever you mention honorable
match.
Mention. Good honorable mention.
Oh, okay.
It was good. It stood out. What stood out was a new, technically new undefeated tag team.
Dude, this is probably my favorite thing of the night.
I loved it, dude.
The B team is undefeated.
Yeah.
Do you think if they, like, win enough, they'll become, like, the B+?
I don't know, but I love that they're just rolling with the B thing.
Yeah.
I didn't hear, but apparently the crowd was chanting, was doing the A-team theme while they were wrestling.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but apparently they were, like, hell, we're the A-team. Like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, we're the B-team. Like, that's not a good thing. No, B stands for best. Their fucking shirts, that little, like,
marker on there. Goddamn, that was the best thing in Raw. Hopefully this does something for them. Hopefully, like, they will get over enough with this that they're not going to be just jobbers. Sure, they're B team, so I get it. But, I mean, dude, they were jobbers when they were with The Miz. They were jobbers when they were in the Social Outcasts. Before that, I don't even fucking remember.
Ryback-Soul.
Oh, yeah, Ryback-Soul. And then when he was teaming with Damian Sandow.
Yeah, and Bo-Leave.
Like, the Bo-Leave stuff never got over in WWE. And NXT, it was over, like, Rover.
Yeah.
But, man, I hope they get something that throws them a bone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I'm gonna say this. It's kind of like the Job Squad. Where the Job Squad were jobbers, but as the Job Squad, they were more than jobbers. Even though they lost everything. I'm kind of hoping that that's what's going to happen, that they're going to get over enough, maybe like 3MB. Or they're still jobbers.
Or like Breezango. Yeah.
They're jobbers, but they're adorable jobbers.
Now, what stands out about the B team that didn't stand out with Breezango and didn't stand out with Job Squad was that these guys are actually good wrestlers. They're underrated wrestlers. Bo Dallas, he has a really aggressive way of wrestling that I like. And Chris Hatchman is his perfect son, so he knows how to fucking wrestle. The Rock picked him to train with whenever he came back, six years ago, or whatever.
He's been training like a lot of the legends and stuff backstage.
So he can perform well. I wish they'd get like a different finishing move. It's not right. It's like a double neck breaker or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have something.
Yeah, you gotta have something. But yeah, the possibilities are out there for that team. So yeah, that's cool. Tag team match that was kind of good but weird. Braun Strowman and Finn Balor.
I am tired of Braun Strowman being in tag matches with randos.
Yes.
And I get it. Finn is more than just a rando.
The way they coincide is they're both Money in the Bank competitors.
Yeah, but come on. So what? I don't care. Like, the stuff with Nicholas was funny, and yeah, I approved of it. Everyone else didn't, but I approved of it. But then it was like, oh, Lashley for a couple of times. Okay, why? Yeah. Then they drop Lashley. It's like, okay, now you're in there with Finn. What the fuck? Why is he in the tag team division?
Yeah,
not competing for the tag team belt anymore because he won it and then gave it back.
Yeah,
but still, like it doesn't make any sense. What the fuck are they doing with this guy?
The problem is they're handicapped because of Brock. This dude should be the fucking one. He should be the champion, but two, he should at least be like part of like the championship storyline. But there is no championship storyline.
Mm.
It's Brock's not there. I like how Nia added in her little thing that I have an obligatory WWE championship match.
Championship match at
G around him. Burned the lead there, but
he did.
Brock doesn't have one because, you know, his ironclad contract.
He's
breaking Punk's streak in the way that Nikki Bella broke AJ's streak. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm a wrestle once every couple months, so yeah.
No, he's breaking Punk's streak the way how Punk had to have the little asterisk next to it by saying in the modern era. Because, oh, nobody's going to touch Bruno Sammartino. Shit, man. Like,
the way it's going, Brock might.
Yeah, Brock might. Like, fucking wrestle once a year? Yeah. Like, keep it for 8 years.
The Undertaker of fucking...
yeah. He can do it.
Just give him his own belt, the Brock belt.
is it like the Saudi Arabia belt? Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, we're talking about Braun.
Dude, there's a fucking trophy just fucking flipped over,
and that wasn't his fault, man. That was McIntyre's fault.
McIntyre, right?
When he took the bump, he rolled back, and the back of his heel caught it, and it fell over.
I hope he doesn't get heat for that, because
I hope WWE doesn't get heat for it. Because what if the Saudis are like, "Hey, we got that for you. That was our thing that we did." Because I mean, come on, all other trophies always get destroyed or something, this and that. I think this time
I didn't even see the trophy until it got knocked over.
Yeah, but I think this time it was a total 100% accident.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because they didn't acknowledge it.
Well, they showed the replay.
Oh, they did.
And, yeah, they did.
At first, the announcers didn't even acknowledge that it happened. But yeah, I must say, I like Balor with Strowman. As much as I'll complain about it, it was cool whenever Strowman just picked up Balor and body slammed him on top of either Drew or Dolph. He's like, what the hell? Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
And then they both go, bruh.
That was funny. I mean, I'm not mad at the fact that. Finn did a good or bad job. Yeah. No, Finn did a great job. It's just, why are we doing this with him?
So did McIntyre and Ziggler. I'm ready for them to get
pushed. I'm glad that they switched the music on them instead of it being Drew's and then
because they were
then silence
they
and Ziggler's
were in
music.
Europe.
Yeah, do it the other way around where it's like Ziggler's music first.
I wish they hadn't changed McIntyre's song. It sucks now.
Yeah, his old music.
It never gets started. It's jump, jump. I mean, that's it. Like, that old one, the last one was sick.
Michael in the live chat says, who could beat Brock Lesnar should be a good storyline built through Extreme Rules all the way to SummerSlam.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, coming up with a number one contender for a Universal title for fucking 6 months?
Well, yeah.
6 months, okay.
Two months.
Three?
Two.
Two.
Because it's Money in the Bank, Extreme Rules, SummerSlam.
Okay, 2 months.
2 months. So Money in the Bank, you focus on the Money in the Banks.
Yeah.
And then Extreme Rules, have some kind of weird match. Kind of like I don't know, some kind of weird ass match.
Some sort of number one contender.
Like you did last year, like with that gauntlet, whatever.
Yeah.
But
Porsche says this, Lashley's eyebrows should be number one contender. All right.
What?
So Lashley.
Yeah.
Had in the little sit-down interview the week previous with Nae Young, Porsche pointed this out to me. He had like these thick full eyebrows.
Okay.
And Porsche being, you know, Porsche, where she knows like about makeup and shit, yeah. And so is Randy and all of their, they're like, those aren't real eyebrows.
I never even noticed him to have eyebrows.
Exactly. Exactly. If you go back and you watch him wrestling, yeah. He doesn't have any fucking eyebrows. But in that fucking interview, he had eyebrows. So I fucking painted on some eyebrows on that motherfucker just for that sit-down interview.
Yeah.
Well, makeup.
Sami Zayn said he was trying to be like him. Sami Zayn has some pretty pronounced eyebrows.
Yeah.
So he had the hat on. He had – what if like, – he comes out with fucking dancing next week too, like Sami Zayn. God, okay, let's talk about that. I forwarded through it because it got old after a while. I love when it came out. I love that Sami's just having fun.
He
makes you happy.
He is, well, that's weird though, because he's a heel and he's still getting heat and he's still getting booze, but he's doing it kind of like in this adorable way that normally a face would get.
Yeah.
But he's adorable and obnoxious. Yeah. And he's just striking right in the middle of that balancing.
He has a really good, like, beatnik way of talking. Just real, like, man, fuck you, guy. He's like, you're like, hey, wait a minute, fuck you, man. It just like, it goes like right over your head whenever he's talking shit about you. So, yeah, like, it went on a little too long, but the gist that I got, because at first when he started, so next week he's going to have them on. It's, God, it's,
gonna
it, have on the sisters, it, it yeah. reeks of This Is Your Life, Bailey. So I hope it's not.
What did I say last week? I said about the Lashley interview. I'm like, okay, if this is part one of like two or three where they talk about other subjects or other topics other than the sister, I'm going to be 100% okay with it.
Yeah.
That's not what they did. They did the opposite. Yeah. Instead of having another interview, they didn't have another interview. They had Sami Zayn go out there and talk about the first interview, the same subject matter. And next week, we're going to have the same subject matter about the sisters show up. It's like, oh,
and
man.
I think the crowd agreed with you because in the match, there was Kevin Owens got substituted for a Jinder Mahal because he couldn't compete because of his ribs. Kevin Owens versus Elias and Bobby Lashley. Dude, he was the opposite of over in London. They were booing the crap out of him.
He was under?
He was under. Everything he was doing. And you could tell his face was like, what the fuck? It reminds you of Die, Rocky, Die. It reminds you of Rocky Maivia. It's so
Die, Rocky, Die, Die, Lashley,
yeah, dude,
Die.
It's Die, Bobby, Die.
Die, Bobby,
dude,
Die.
It's perfect for a heel turn.
But, dude, it's he's limited. So smiley. Though.
I know, but I don't one of y'all said, I don't watch TNA. I'm above that. But but one of y'all said that he was a good heel in TNA.
He was very intense in TNA.
Okay, so just give him that.
Okay.
Give him that or whatever. Do something. But, dude, yeah, he can be a fucking dick. He can be, and you can, and that you can have that as an excuse because, dude, no one's buying this fucking, hey, guys, it's not, it doesn't work.
It's almost in Apollo territory.
Yeah.
Almost.
And he's too good
for
that.
Happy to be here.
And he's too good for that, man. Yeah. So I want to see him succeed. But, yeah, everything he was doing was good, but he was getting booed out of the fucking country.
Porsche says, Sammy, I'm annoying. Gotta love me. Michael, again, going back to this thing about the Extreme Rules, do you think that there would be another multi-man match at Extreme Rules for a number one contender?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean,
you gotta come up with the number one.
What else you got? What else you got? Because, Finn said as much the other day. Well, he's qualified for Money in the Bank, so hopefully he wins it. Because he said like, I want my Universal Title shot, which he still hasn't had. Yeah, but you got people that are gonna come out of the woodwork for it. So yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be interesting, and then having like an Extreme Rules match, yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know, pole on a pole match, something like that.
Pole on a pole.
Yeah, just have some kind of shenanigans. But yeah, Kevin Owens won via because Stephanie McMahon said, hey, stick him in there.
Yeah.
So he had two matches and he won one of them.
And now he's going, man.
Yeah. And now he's going Money in the Bank.
No one bats 1,000.
No. But it, I mean, fuck it. It works. It does its job.
Yeah.
And I think it was a solid episode of Raw. Not too many watches except the weird part of you and I were at work and we saw, Nia Jax is going to fight Ronda Rousey for the belt. That's kind of weird. And we're both like, okay, then they built up the little thing. So they're like all friends and it was woo. And then I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. It's kind of like friendly competition.
Okay.
But whatever. I'm just glad they didn't do a big show on Nia, just turn her heel out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. I loved it, except for one small aspect of it. But let me tell you why I loved it first. The reason why I loved it was because it was storyline taking place in a setting that's other than what you see on the telly, which makes sense. In this aspect, like, oh, because it's still caught headlines. Because I'm not talking, I know I bitch about like the Twitter and stuff like that, but like this was like on a red carpet where there was other cameras, there was other things going on, and like, you know, you have wrestlers and you have the women's wrestlers there, so it makes sense for something to go down at that point in time. So I love that.
Yeah,
I love that, you know, Nia's taking initiative. I love that Rhonda was like, dude, are you serious? Like, yeah. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. I love that story where she's not getting thrust into the limelight because of her own self.
Yeah.
You know, she's like reluctant about like, hey, hold on. The only part that I didn't like is before and after the, hey, we're buddies. Hey, I'm gonna challenge you for the title. Nia got a little bit too serious in the middle of it and got a little bit too heelish in the middle of it.
She forgot for a bit.
Yeah. And then,
or then again, Nia's just a natural heel.
I guess, I don't know. I don't know. But like, I don't like the way she delivered like two lines.
Yeah.
Other than that, I fucking love the decision to do it.
Yeah. It was kind of like, oh, there's more of, I love that they still kept Rhonda humble. Mm-hmm. She was like, there's plenty more of the deserved. He's like, I know. But I'm not. I don't care about that. I'm challenging you.
Yeah.
But it's badass because it's like, it's kind of. I'll get to my SmackDown version of somebody who did this perfectly. It's like now I just won the belt. It's like whenever you get sent to prison, first thing you go do is punch the shit out of the strongest guy you find to get respect. So Nia, that's what she's doing.
Because you know so much about
prison. Oh yeah. So that was Raw.
Is that everything from Raw?
Pretty much. You had like broken Matt.
And they did something.
They wrestled somebody. Oh, the Revival, and they beat him like nothing. Yeah, the Revival's kind of dead and gone. The tag team title, who are the champions? They're the champions. Yeah. See, the title division isn't really that great right now.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of weird not tag teams that are on there. So.
And then the one, like, legit tag team, you know, the Revival, you're not doing anything. Wait a second. Is it AOP on Raw?
Yeah, but they weren't on there. This week, I think it's 2 weeks in a row that they haven't been on.
Hmm.
Huh.
Maybe they're like, "Oh shit, we fucked up with our Ellering. Let's go get our Ellering back."
Nah.
I don't know. Okay, so that's Raw.
That's Raw.
That's Raw. Okay, done with Raw.
I cannot wait to talk about SmackDown. Okay, for the first time in a while, SmackDown was the show this week.
Okay,
it was.
In the middle of the session, just go take a drink.
Dude, it came out swinging.
Okay.
Fucking. First thing, Daniel Bryan. Boy, that crowd. Oh, my God. That was like 2013, 14 Daniel Bryan love that he got there. Because, mind you, they're not jaded yet because they haven't seen Daniel Bryan wrestle yet because he's the only wrestler in America so far. Mm-hmm. Oh, and, you know, other places besides the UK. So they haven't seen him since.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, non-America. Not Texas.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so they haven't seen him since 2014, probably before. So, yeah, they were fucking livid. They were, I mean, the opposite of livid. They were live. They were like, fucking.
They were hyped.
Yeah, and then Renee couldn't even ask her questions. It was like, wah, wah. And that was even with the editing, you could still tell, like, oh, shit. But they did a good job, and so did Big Cass. Big Cass did a really good job of tuning out the chants because they know, hey, this is going to be aired in about 3 more hours. So they're going to have time to mute them and not mute me. Mm. So don't get caught up in what they're saying. They did a really good job. Everyone in this whole segment was good. Renee was kind of like, hey, you know, kind of quirky, but, you know, respectful.
Yeah.
Dee Bryce just was like, yeah, fuck it. I love what he said. You know, at first I was happy to be back, but now, I want the WWE Championship. Fucking place erupted.
There you go.
And then freaking here comes Big Ass walking down. And, he was like saying, oh yeah, you lost because you're small, you lost because whenever it was my fault you lost, blah blah blah, and he was just talking shit. And he did what Kevin Owens did, and I loved and what set off Shane McMahon last year.
What was?
Talk about his kids. You don't talk about their kids or their family.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about the kid, but he talked about her family. He talked about Brie. And you could tell, like, everything he was saying, Brie was like, okay. 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 And then when he said, yeah, you know, you should stay at home and Brie should do this and that. And he's like, that's it. Yeah. That was it. Dude, Brian kicked the shit out of Big Cass, dude. I'm talking about, I loved it so much, dude, because it wasn't the whole, oh, how's the little guy going to find a way to, no, he just fucking little guy just beat the shit out of the fucking big dude.
Yeah.
It's like what you see, like, in fucking YouTube videos where, like, the little short fucking Mexican guy, the fucking thug, whatever, find the big old fucking black dude, the big old white dude, yeah, that's fucking doing this. What the fuck, this little, get this fucker off me. It was like, dude, he fucking went at his leg. He just beat, he focused on his, like, he, like, almost like a heel. If you would, didn't know who was who or what was what, you would think Daniel was a heel there.
Okay.
He almost, all he had to do was get his fucking necktie and choke him with it, and that'd be fucking vintage. Vintage heel D-Bry up there. But yeah, that was fucking tight. He made him tap out with the like a heel lock. It was a really cool.
Well, no, that was after the bell, wasn't it? The heel hook?
Yeah, the heel hook,
The heel hook was after the bell. Wasn't it?
It wasn't a match.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was beat the shit up, but he was like tapping. Yeah. Dude, I love that whole segment. Apparently, it was because there's been heat that Big Cass took his, you know, had his way with the midget.
Yeah, and he wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to lay his hands on him.
That might be them getting out the way. Like, okay, here's your punishment. Now, next week, you're going to beat the fuck out of Daniel Bryan again. I hope not, but whatever, man. For at least for this week, it was badass. It was really good. They fucking they set it off with that whole segment.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, my segment that I want to talk about, I was really really happy with, how I said about Nia Jax. But this is the male we call it. If you get somewhere, you look around. All right, fuck it. I'm gonna punch somebody in the face and give you my respect. Andrade Cien Almas came out. Beat some random jobber. But Zelina Vega came in and said, hey, we're here and we're better than everybody. And I'm talking about everybody. Anyone in that locker room, we're better than them. Like, boom, just straight calling it out. You have to back up those words. And Almas can in the ring. So you got to wonder what they're going to give him. Because Almas is still crisp in the ring.
Almas is crisp.
He's still fresh. And that guy from London, apparently he was like, he's a pretty, not a big wrestler over there, but a pretty well-known wrestler over there. But yeah, fuck. I'm really, really happy with the way, with Cien Almas' debut. Out of all the post-Raw debuts, right now he's kind of my favorite. Yeah, I have like the recency bias.
Yeah.
But everyone else kind of seemed random. His was built.
Yeah.
That's why I liked it.
Maybe not Ember?
Ember was random, but she had a good debut.
Okay.
But Sanity's turn.
Yeah, we still haven't had Sanity show up yet.
Yeah. This would have been perfect, too, because fucking half of them were from Europe.
What's up? Yeah, if you don't mind going back just for a little bit, Michael says this in live chat.
I rewinded myself.
Wrestling fans be like, Big Cass is not the right person for Daniel Bryan. It should be The Miz. Also, wrestling fans be like, why is this at Money in the Bank instead of SummerSlam? It should be built up.
Oh, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You will learn very soon that I do not like wrestling fans.
That's true. out of those two, I kind of lean more towards let's let Big Cass do something.
Oh yeah!
I want to see what Big Cass can do.
For sure.
I like that they're giving him a bone, and trying to do something with them. Maybe see if he'll sink or swim.
Oh, we're giving him something next week.
Yeah,
we're giving him Samoa Joe.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that promo was fucking.
It was like
fire.
It was like Joe was a face but a heel at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like he was just no bullshit about it. Hey, look. Mm-hmm. You suck. I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh,
and you're going to have a rude awakening. And
He just fucking annihilated
in the way Samoa Joe does.
Yes. Yeah. He does everything just so, like, he doesn't try too hard to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like his vibe. That's, you know, Samoa Joe. I did this. It's like his Samoa Joe has his, like, calming way of, like, killing you. He's a perfect serial killer.
It's because of the way he does his promos. Yeah. And it's that...
Oh, when he gets violent, he gets violent.
Exactly, because he has the calming way of killing you. It's because that's exactly how he speaks.
Yeah.
He'll be like, I'm going to talk low like this, make sure you pay attention and show that I'm real calm, but then I'm going to kill you and I say things really loud because you don't know when it's going to happen.
No, you don't.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, man, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
There was like an early 90s wrestler that did it. I just can't remember who.
Jake the Snake?
Is it Jake the Snake? Because he would get really low. Yeah. I don't think he would ever get high.
I don't
high.
Think he would get that high, though.
No.
Oh, no.
So, you know what? He'd be like a badass mix of fucking Jake the Snake and Macho Man.
Okay.
Yeah, real, when he gets fucking really. You know, they're kind of like that. You know. All right. More Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Yes.
I love this whole segment with Paige, and Mandy and Sonya.
Mandy,
that whole thing was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, hey, we've never seen wrestling before.
Uh-huh.
That was a qualifying match. Oh, well, I should be. Okay, yeah, well, you're going to face Becky Lynch in order to do it. Like, okay, and Sonya, you're going to face Becky Lynch. Oh, okay, it's a handicap match. No, you dumbass. I was watching it and I was like, my 3-year-old was like, hey, come on, dumbasses. Oh, God. It was like, okay. But that was a good setup match. Dude, I love Mandy Rose's intro.
Me too.
Because it does, it makes you fixate on her or whatever, and everything blurs out, and it's fucking cool. And of course, much like I credit, for Eva Marie, I credit Corey Graves for getting her over on NXT.
Good point. Like,
over as fuck. And Corey's doing that with her on SmackDown to be on, because while in the middle of the match, like, Mandy turned on Sonya, and oh, that's smart, this and that. And then Sonya turned on Mandy, oh, that's not good. And even Byron's like, hey, you just said. Like, it's fucking cool. Your Corey's just a delight. It was little man buns that went on.
I was watching that with my wife, Randy. And she didn't watch last week's SmackDown. So she didn't. That was her first time seeing Mandy Rose's entrance. So I was like, hey,
watch this.
You know? And so her music hit. She stepped out there all slow and seductive like.
Yeah.
And then the blur effect on the sides happened and they're focusing on her. After she got in the ring, Randy turns to me and says, all right, what porno are we fixing to watch? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it was good, and Becky got the win. But hey, everyone looked good in this match. Mandy Rose is the best I've seen her look, and that's twice because she looked good last week too. Becky made Mandy Rose look really, really good, and yeah. Sonya's intro, they gave her back the song from NXT, I think, or they tweaked it a little bit because she has her own intro. And it blindsided the fuck out of the guy in the back. Did you see that guy?
Yeah.
And she was doing her little punches with the strobe lights. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, this guy in the back's like, ah! He was like freaking out. But yeah, the match was good. Mandy did that real move that I love of hers. Like that, kind of like that underhook. Like,
Whatever it is. I don't even know what it's called. I shouldn't remember.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was really good. But Becky won with the disarmer. So she's in the Money in the Bank. She's one of like two people in the Money in the Bank. Oh, her, Alexa, and
Ember.
Ember.
And Charlotte.
No. Well,
yeah.
Charlotte, but from what I see, she's going to be taken off of it because her boob popped.
Portia's calling me out on my bullshit.
Ah.
She says, didn't you just say that you didn't like it when Nia was a little heelish while being a face? Yeah, it's okay for Samoa Joe.
You're a hypocrite.
Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. I mean, yeah, we can get into this, you know, but I've got
to. So, next week, we're going to have another qualifying match for Money in the Bank for the women.
Mm-hmm.
And if this person gets in, we could potentially have a Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank.
Yes.
With Rusev Day.
Yeah.
Everyone would be.
Holy crap.
Oh, shit. Happy Rusev Day.
Oh, happy Rusev Day, but also, I didn't change my Rusev Day official calendar yet.
Well, it's every day's Rusev Day, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, no, it's still right.
Yeah.
Never mind, I did Rusev change it. Okay, yeah.
I
need to mark off
the game. So, yeah, that's going to be good, but they're still kind of burying Aiden English there.
Like, kind of, but not as bad as I thought.
Oh, no. I'm glad that they haven't.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're, like, kind of all on the same page, all three of them. And it's not like how last week where she was like, hey, ditch the singing man. You know, I'm glad that they kind of dropped that. And hopefully that is squashed altogether.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little, like you're saying, maybe they're kind of downplaying it in English a bit.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see all three of them as a fucking trio, you know, just having fun.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
The Iconics did one of those selfie promos, but I loved it. I don't know if it's just me, but I see how a lot of people online don't like their promos. I love their promos. I think they're like spot on with their with the way they react, and they're really good at like vibing off each other. Like they know when to say and when not to say things. Carmella, the Melibration,
vibing with each other.
Yeah. the Melibration was a little underwhelming, but it was still funny.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was like I expected more. I expected more of like an extravagant thing. I love that Paige is like on the phone with Carmella, like, no, you can't have a horse and carriage in shows.
That was funny.
That was pretty cool. And then, I've already seen a bunch of bullshit online of saying no one's happy with who they're giving her to fight at Money in the Bank, which is Asuka.
Yes.
Because they're like, nerds will be like, oh, well, you have her beat Carmella, then you did that. You ended her streak for nothing. Or if you have her lose and you have her, you lost her streak for nothing. Like, what the fuck does it matter? What they? She's like a little fucking porcelain doll. You can't do anything with her.
Yeah,
dude, fucking let her. The best thing they did was end that streak.
Well, you know what? I agree there because I said this before Mania. It's like you got to get that monkey off of creative's back. Like, oh, she has to win every time, so then she becomes predictable.
Yeah,
but what I was going to say is no matter who wins between Carmella and Asuka, I'm happy with the outcome, which is rare that, well, not super rare, but like it's not common.
Yeah.
Because if Carmella continues to win, she could, I mean, she's been great at being a heel and talking about, oh yeah, the one who beat Charlotte twice. And dude, I beat she Asuka. Beats
Asuka
and
clean.
If she beats Asuka clean, holy crap.
Dude,
the heat will be nuclear.
Yeah, dude.
Of course, if Asuka wins, good for Asuka. I'm glad Asuka, got a title.
Yeah,
I'm a fan. So whoever wins, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Now, there might be other people, like you said, wrestling
I've seen them all over the interwebs today.
Yeah.
They're not happy, but I'm happy. It was good to me.
Yeah. All right. Going back to Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Banks here, which I really do want that to happen.
That'd be fucking awesome. That means Raw doesn't get shit.
Ronda did what?
Raw doesn't get shit for briefcases.
Yeah, so.
They'll be fine.
Anyway, Michael says, I expect The Miz to become Mr. Money in the Bank. So, sorry, no Rusev Day or Balor Club. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay with
whatever
that.
You give The Miz, it's fine.
But we've already seen that before with The Miz.
Yeah. Well, Cena won it like 5 times.
No, he didn't.
Once?
Yeah.
Once?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Edge
won it like 6 times.
No, he didn't win it 6 times.
Punk won it 3 times.
Yeah. Punk won it and cashed in successfully twice. Edge cashed in successfully twice, but he actually only won it in the Money in the Bank match once.
That's right, because he beat Kennedy for
the other one. Yeah, stupid ass Kennedy. Yeah. All right. They had a hard on for Carmella, and now it's flaccid. Wait, what are you talking about?
Who did? WWE or
WWE?
Him?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think it. Whatever. What she's doing, I love it. I love what she's doing.
I love
as
it
champion,
too.
Dude. She's just like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Nah, I love
her trolley heel stuff.
Yeah. But I so far, again, if she beats Asuka, I'm gonna even love it even more because that means she's backing it up. It's like you can't hate her because she's good. So hopefully they give her that momentum. It'll be interesting to see how, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What else?
My match of the week pick.
I'm ready to ding.
AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Dude. Matt, I love this match from bell to bell. From bell to bell, me and my daughter sat there and watched it just fucking like, she loves Nakamura. She's Nakamura. She says it kind of weird, but she's trying to say Nakamura. She's 3.
She's 3.
Yeah. But, dude, yeah, we just sat there and watched
it. She's this many.
Yes. This if you're German.
Or Japanese.
Dude, that match was fun. It was fucking delightful. It was a like a condensed version of what I imagined their Wrestle Kingdom was, which is just like you know what I mean? Okay. Like, well, when I mean condensed, yeah. I mean like a super little condensed. Yeah, like a glimpse into what we saw. Because it sure as fuck was already better than the three matches before. It was better than the Mania match. And it was conclusive, so it was better than the past two matches. And dude, it had a lot of good spots. A lot of I love Shinsuke as a heel, man. I love the way he wrestles as a heel.
Yeah.
Just kind of like taunting and just a lot of the cool shit that he does. And I really like the just some of the moves they were doing on the apron and outside and just oh man, it was really good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that finish to the match to where he did mm-hmm. Him and then I was like, well, no, he didn't. He did, I'm not gonna, you know. Then boom, the fucking that flippy fucking sandwich suplex, whatever the fuck that is. I don't know why I said sandwich.
The sandwich suplex.
Yeah, the sandwich suplex. Right. That's what we'll call it from now.
That's what we're calling
the
it.
The sandwich suplex.
Yeah,
and then the fucking Kinshasa and beat him clean, beat the champion. He gets to pick the stipulation, which is hopefully freaking they both wear iron cups or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed the match a whole lot. I think it was probably the best that they've had. I think that they improve every time that they're in the ring together.
Yeah.
However, what I don't like is the booking. Like, why we had this match.
Yeah, that was random.
Like, whoever wins this gets to pick the stipulation at their other match that they're going to fight again.
So,
like, what?
But now, what? Well, hold on. AJ won the first one, and he won it clean.
Right.
So they are technically 1-1.
I'm not, okay. But you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's fine. What I would have rather had seen was AJ, you pick a guy to represent you. Shinsuke, you pick a guy to represent you. Them two fight, whichever wins, either AJ or Shinsuke gets to pick the stipulation. Instead of having AJ and Shinsuke put their hands on each other again on free TV.
Well, see, I'm the one who, since I was a kid, hated hearing that. And they, as an adult and as a podcaster now, really hate when I see that. Oh, why would you give such a good match away for free? One answer. Because, dude, just because it's a good match. It's like, oh, no, we save our good matches until pay-per-view. Okay, that means you're saying these fucking shows are irrelevant. You got to put – that's the thing. It's why I love Seth Rollins so much.
Okay.
Day in, day out, you know you're going to get a fucking good quality match. And fuck, we got one out of – I mean, I think we got one out of Nakamura and AJ Styles. And well, it's interesting to see what they're going to do because they both cut individual promos. AJ's was kind of wacky. He was like the face. He's facing it up.
Yeah.
Saying like all these, we'll have a pole match and this and that. And then Renee said, oh, we'll have this and that. And just like, that's just silly. Like, it worked. And it was really funny. Then Nakamura pretending again that he didn't know what Renee was talking about.
And then he finally, you know, it's like, okay.
I'm going to kill AJ Styles.
Money in the Bank is expected to be a four-hour pay-per-view. How many matches are there? That's according to Michael. Well, there's men's Money in the Bank, the women's Money in the Bank. Both of those matches I'd imagine to be fairly longer. They're not going to be, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Imagine. And then you add on entrances. That's another 10 each.
Yeah.
So just in those two matches, that's already an hour. AJ versus Shinsuke, that's another match.
Yeah.
That'll probably be, I would want it to be 20, 30 minutes. And then what else? I mean, there's got to be like a 15 minute match to the girls. You got Ronda versus Nia. Yeah,
Ronda versus Nia and Mello versus Asuka.
Mello versus Asuka. All right. Wow. That's five. Yeah. That's five already. Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah. I think they could fill 4 hours. I mean, there's got to be one or two other matches in there that, you know, a U.S. title match or an Intercontinental title, tag title matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else from SmackDown?
That's it, as far as I can remember. It was a short show.
Yeah.
But it was jam-packed. So that's why I really liked it.
It was the same length. It's always 2 hours.
That's what I'm saying. It was short. Like, yeah, they jam-packed a bunch of action where it felt like the show just flew by.
Okay.
So it was good.
All right.
SmackDown was good.
Did you watch NXT?
I did.
From last week?
I enjoyed NXT from last week.
Okay, let's talk about
NXT. I didn't watch the last, like, 10 minutes of it. So you had to tell me what happened in the main event. But everything that I saw, it freaking from the beginning of the show, I just griped about last thing. Like, yeah, I didn't gripe at all because I was saying how we get Dakota Kai every week on NXT, mm-hmm. but we don't get Ricochet at all.
Right.
Well, the first thing that happens is we get Ricochet. Ricochet. Yeah, he's out there with his, you know, suit, loafers, no socks, kind of weird. Oh, and then out comes motherfucking Velveteen Dream. Woo, man, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
What?
When Velveteen Dream came out,
yes,
I was excited.
Yes.
When he started doing his promo and then they had it doing promos, dude, I think that was the longest promo of the week. It went on
too long. It was very long.
It was too drawn out. And it made Velveteen look less like Velveteen Dream. It made him look like just another guy. It made him look like a jag. And he lost a little bit of his mystique and his aura, I think, with this promo.
Yeah.
Like, he was just trying to say...
I think they went on a little too long.
Yeah.
But they can fix that.
I hope so.
They're kings of fixing that type of stuff.
I hope so, because, man, I don't want to be ruined on Velveteen Dream.
I'm pretty sure at NXT TakeOver Chicago, we can get Velveteen Dream versus Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. And the match itself should be really good.
Really good. Yeah. I think the matches were really good. I told you about this guy and how, like, man, I'm not really sold on him. I'm okay. He just kind of looks kind of weird. But they put him with a very, very good opponent. EC3 versus Raul Mendoza. Yeah. That was a good match. As every single time I've seen Raul Mendoza, I say the same thing. He is, to me, the new freaking guy's big push.
Okay.
Every time I see him, we get a badass match out of the person he's fighting.
Yeah.
So he elevates the other person, and, you know, he looks good doing it. So, EC3 did a really fucking a bunch of good stuff in the match. And then he cut a pretty damn good promo with Kathy Kelly right after the match.
I agree.
Where it was like, he's intense. I like the way he talks. I like the cut of his jib. So yeah, I'm willing to say I'm on board with EC3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're on board. I've been on board with him because I liked what he had to offer in TNA.
Yeah.
I kind of see how somebody can get sour on EC3. I'm glad that you're not, but I can see how somebody else would by like, oh, he's not as badass as I thought he would be as far as in-ring style go. He's not Ricochet where he's flippy-dippy and doing all kinds of crazy shit. You know, he's not a super... you know, technical or anything like that. He kind of has like a hybrid middle of the road style for everything, and I'm okay with this style.
I think that's exactly what a WWE superstar is.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think he has the tools to be a future WWE superstar.
Okay. Yeah. What does it for me with EC3 is his character and his charisma. That's what does it for me.
Yeah.
Is in ring, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's good enough. It's like, you know, it's like his other attributes are 10 out of 10 and his wrestling's at like a 7 out of 10. It's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's still a fucking, you know, superstar.
Yeah.
All right. That's EC3. That's what I'm saying about it.
Solid match. And you know what's coming. Dakota Kai versus Vanessa Bourne. They both look great.
Oh, and somebody looked greater than the other, though. God damn, Vanessa Bourne.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Vanessa Bourne
got my fucking
dude, money. Vanessa Bourne, you know what she could be? Man, I don't want to disrespect, but like a hotter Americanized Layla. That's what she reminds me of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
If she tightens up her ring, which she's not bad in the ring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's how a lot of girl wrestlers are visibly green. She's like a little visibly green, but not that bad. And dude, she took that Dakota Kai's new finisher like a fucking boss.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like a modified backstabber almost.
Yeah. It was really
kind
cool.
of like what's that move that everyone loves that I hate? It's like a Canadian Destroyer and like a
lung blower, backstabber.
Yeah, backstabber. I love that move.
Yeah.
And I love Dakota Kai's fire in the match. she, as I'm saying, she was real timid because she keeps getting bullied by Baszler. Mm-hmm. But Vanessa Bourne tried to be like, yeah, you know, she didn't beat the shit out of her. Like, she had her legs in too, but once.
Yeah.
Those kicks are bam. And those, like, she's real fucking elegant. She's like a deer.
What I like about Dakota Kai that was really prominent in this particular match is that she does some things in ways that you could tell she put thought into it and creativity into it and didn't just, like, go out there and wrestle the style that was taught to her.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
I don't think there's anybody in any wrestling school learning that, hey, when you whip somebody into a corner, you gotta, instead of running from corner to corner, you run around the side to do a kick.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting taught that. That's something cool. She came up with on her own. I've never seen anybody else do it. I apologize that maybe somebody saw it in New Japan or Progress or something. But I think that was something that's unique to her that she did that was, you could tell the gears are grinding in her own head.
Well, she's from New Zealand, so, you know, the toilets go backwards over there.
Oh,
so maybe that's what that it is. Yeah. Tobias told her. It's Australia, but, you know, same thing.
The other thing that she did that was kind of like that, and this isn't necessarily an in-ring thing, put one foot on the second step and went like that and then went back and then went this other way.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's trying to do movements that aren't like the same movements that we've seen.
From
everywhere else. Like she's thinking about what she's doing as far as her movement go. And I fucking love that. And I can appreciate that about her.
Yeah. I really like, everyone knows I'm a fan of Dakota Kai. Mm-hmm. So I'm really liking where they're going with her. Now, as soon as the match is over, she's going to celebrate for like 0.5 seconds and freaking, Shayna Baszler's badass song starts coming out and fucking she just comes out and Dakota Kai's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. And she does the fucking most intimidating thing that you can do is like, watch. Bam! She just choked the shit out of fucking Vanessa Bourne. Yeah. Vanessa Bourne. She got a fucking badass backstabber and then a fucking choke out fucking just to for her night.
Yeah.
But like that was in Dakota Kai just she didn't even sell like the she was like to Shayna, she's just like, oh, I'm leaving here. That's my chance. I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. But she was back there. She got interviewed and she's like, And then Shayna came back for her again, right?
Yeah. Shayna went back there.
And just said, like, you know, what are you going to do? This and that. And she's like, And she's just like, fuck. She's all whimpering and like crying. And then you just hear, oh, fucking Nikki Cross. Goddamn. I wonder what that's going to be. A start of an alliance or just like,
I don't think it's an alliance. Crazy? I think it's just Nikki. I think Nikki is going to be like stalking Baszler for a little bit. Okay. And then eventually she's going to be like, all right, now you got to take me on, you know, because she's done having her fun watching Baszler beat up everybody else.
Yeah.
And thinks, you know what? It's my turn to beat you up because you're having too much fun beating the
fair. I don't know, but in the direction of Dakota, that's what I'm saying. That's why
I don't know.
That's why I think it might be like of like I'm protecting you.
She's crazy.
Yeah, because she's technically a face.
She's technically crazy.
Yeah, she wild. Mind you, I was at Access and I got to see them wrestle. I have it on my phone. I recorded the whole damn match. Dakota Kai versus Nikki Cross.
Oh, they wrestled.
Yeah, they wrestled. Dakota Kai beat her. Wait. Yeah, Dakota Kai won.
Oh, cool.
So I can see what I see. They put on a good match.
Yeah.
So they can have a little whatever, but I don't know. I like that NXT always leaves you with, hey, what are they going to do? There's a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
What NXT didn't do for very long is have you questioning who's going to be the stronger big motherfuckers in the tag team division. The freaking Los Angeles War Raiders fucking took it out.
Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Las Vegas War Raiders took on freaking Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. <Yeah. laughs> The Farley brothers?
The Farley brothers, man. God. That was a match. That was just fucking heavy hidden.
That was a really good match. I enjoyed it. Every time that I'm going to see Ray roll on my screen, I'm going to mark out a little bit. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that that was just a cool little match. Hopefully that's going to continue and that wasn't the end of it. And it's just like, okay, here's the debut for War Raiders. Check them out. They're badass. And that's it. I want more gears there to turn, because I felt like while that match was really good, I'm not quite willing to give it match of the week. I may give it a match of the week candidate, but that's it. Because I feel like there's so much more that's left on the table that could be put on by both of those teams. And I want to see it at the next takeover or something, you know, if they could continue this storyline where, you know, okay, they have one win. Now we want Stakes and Waste to get another win. Maybe, you know, you have a third win there at TakeOver.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for everything that was going down with that.
Robert, what's up?
What Thank up? You for joining it's us. Time to start meddling. It's halftime.
Yeah. Well, no, he's saying he just actually watched NXT's. Tonight's NXT, he said it was really good, too. Noise. Unless he is watching the Rockets game. Are you watching the Rockets game?
No spoiler alert.
No spoilers, but yeah.
So, main event.
Main event. Cassius Ohno.
Tommaso Ciampa came out with his IRS theme. You guys are rip off of IRS there.
Yeah, yeah. He does it. His theme is a shower of booze. Yes. I fucking love it.
Oh god, it was dude. The guy, there's this dude who stole the show. He was like right when
the corner.
The people were walking up to the corner to the right. He was like, boo, boo, I hate you, boo. Yeah. He was like really into it.
Yeah.
And it was fucking awesome. But yeah, Tommaso Ciampa's gear is badass.
Yeah.
He looks like he should be taller. That's why it makes him look taller. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay.
Like he almost looks like fucking Super Shredder. But but dude, from what I saw, I watched most of the match. But due to time constraints, I had to stop watching and I just got really busy today, so I couldn't watch it. I really enjoyed this match of the 85% of it that I saw apparently. Cassius is crisp for, you know, Cassius, and Tommaso is just really good at being his style of wrestling is different. It's like, I don't know how to really like describe it. How would you describe his style of wrestling?
Well, he's very heavy on the kicks the strikes.
Yeah, rather. He's strikes, but he grapples.
He grapples a little bit too. Yeah, I don't know. He's like
keep in mind he's a cruiserweight. Technically,
he's
185
pounds.
He ain't
a cruiserweight.
No, he was in
the
CWC.
Oh, okay, maybe he is a cruiserweight.
Yeah, so he's
a little. I don't know. He's striking, grappling a little bit. I don't know, a little bit of everything.
But yeah, I like for what I saw. And man, if they just put like some different clothes on Cassius Ohno, dude, I'll buy him. If they put him in like some Kevin Owens, like, you know, get up, that's fine.
Well, he kind of is, except
no, he's not. I don't see Kevin Owens sitting like. I don't see that.
He has shorts and a shirt, which is the same thing that Kevin Owens wears.
Kevin Owens wears shorts. He wears tight. Like, he wears speaking.
Oh, yeah, the little chonis.
Yeah, he wears chonis.
Okay. Whatever. That being said, this is my match of the week pick.
There you go.
And it's very surprising for how much I don't enjoy Cassius Ohno.
Yes.
But I think that's just a credit to Tommaso Ciampa.
See.
It was brutal. It was start to finish just like full of emotion. It was high energy, and I like the finish itself. I mean, it finished somewhat abruptly, but it also made sense.
I just read. He countered that strike, that rolling elbow.
Yes.
Into that neck breaker.
That neck breaker thing that he
splashed him in the face.
Yeah.
He dropped him.
Yeah, he dropped him, and that was cool. 1, 2, 3. All right, cool. We're done. It was a nice little match. My favorite match this week. But the shenanigans that came after it, I enjoyed as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cassius lost. He's out there just, you know,
losing.
out there selling, and he crawls over towards the ropes, and Tommaso takes off his knee brace,
yes,
and then goes over the ropes while, you know, Cassius was in between and chokes him through the rope with the knee brace. I'm like, God damn, this dude, stop. He's already dead. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm digging the heel run of Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm digging the match that happened there. And, yeah, that's my favorite for this week.
That's cool. And I just read what he said afterwards. He was like, whenever he was, like, basically choking out Cajasona with the fucking knee brace.
Yeah.
He was asking him if it was worth it because, you know, he came to Johnny's aid. And he said he issuing a menacing statement screaming that he'd broken Gargano's body and Candice LeRae's heart and declaring that the Gargano fairy tale is over.
Oh, yeah.
He must have said that, like, out loud or to the microphone. I don't know if he, whatever he did.
Yeah.
But I like that. I love that they're still, we're going to get a fucking third match out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can't wait.
Is this, like, Omega Okada style, where it's like we're going to have a trio match? Who won their
Cruiserweight Classic match?
Gargano.
So Gargano's 0-2, I mean 2-0.
Did Gargano win the Cruiserweight Classic match?
I didn't watch, so I don't know.
Shit, now I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, either way, fuck. I mean, no matter who wins, it's cool because if Gargano wins, yay, it's the fucking, you know, he overcame all the fucking Blackheart shit. If Ciampa wins, then shit. He fucking just dismantled him and...
Yeah.
What's next, you know?
I don't know.
So, yeah, Tommaso Ciampa said at the end of 2017 that he's going to be the biggest superstar in 2018. I remember him saying that. I think he even said wrestler, not even superstar.
Yeah.
So, shit.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm down as fuck.
Just give it to me, Neil.
Yes. Yes, Daddy. Hi.
Yeah. I think tonight's tapings, I mean, tonight's NXT was the first of last week's tapings. So, it should be kickstart a whole different, like,
cycle.
Yeah, and this is like straight up to lead into NXT Chicago.
Yeah, should be. Yeah,
cool.
All right, so that's all the NXT.
That's all the NXT. I did not watch 205 Live.
Okay, I did watch 205 Live, and they did something interesting.
What did
they do? Drake Maverick cut a promo at the top of the show and said, "Hey, we're in London, so we're gonna have a lot of people from the UK here because hey, we're gonna have another UK tournament." So we're going to have 205 Live guys, our Cruiserweights, versus some of the UK guys, and we're going to have a four-way match, and then we're going to have a six-man tag with, you know, different people in there.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Cool wrestle.
The four-way, which was the first match, was TJP, Kalisto, Tyler Bate, and this other guy, I think they said his name was Kenny Williams.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they had a good match. That could have been my match of the week pick.
Yeah.
I was like going back and forth between this and the NXT main event.
Okay.
But fuck, it was real good. I was – the only reason why I didn't pick it was because there wasn't a whole lot of storyline going into or out of it.
Yeah.
Especially with the Kenny Williams guy. And the Kenny Williams did look like he was a little nervous and a little out of – I want to say out of place, but a little – nervous. Yeah. All right. He looked like he was a little nervous, you know. But he did well once he got his groove and got his stride going. And he put those guys in the fucking ring and, you know, the other three all together. And they're going to fucking shine. And that's what happened. It was a really good four-way. The six-man match was Gulak and two other UK guys. I don't even remember their names.
Mm.
But they're pretty cool, too. One guy is missing an ear. And, you know, another guy is like his tag team partner or something. He's
missing a foot or something.
Yeah. The other guy had one testicle.
Yes. Versus
and
Mustafa
it was
Ali?
Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and I'm forgetting.
Was Mark Andrews there?
No.
I figured he'd be there. It would make so much sense.
Damn, I don't even remember who that other guy was, but it was a UK guy.
Okay.
I remember. It was a dude named Flash. What was his name?
Funk?
No. I don't remember, but it was Flash something. It was Flash something Weber or something like that. But he was an interesting character. He had a helmet. He had a helmet that he carried with him. He had a fucking jacket with the ascot and like stripes of his pants. Like he was like UK as fuck.
Oh, God, you know? Yeah.
But whatever. That was kind of an all right match. Yeah. I like seeing.
I did see that they released some of the names for the UK tournament. Now, it's a UK tournament, UK championship tournament. So the winner.
For the title?
I don't know. I just saw that's what it's called. The UK championship. So I'm guessing the winner takes on Pete Dunne?
I would hope so. I hope not Pete Dunne isn't defending his title in a tournament. Yeah. Like, that would be lame. But, yeah, I guess whoever wins it gets to take on Pete Dunne. That'd be cool. But that both of those matches were pretty good. I think the four-way was better than the six-man tag. But in the six-man tag, it was nice seeing Mustafa and Cedric Alexander wrestling side by side. And they even cut a promo earlier. Well, it wasn't really a promo. It was one of those backstage segments where they're not supposed to know a camera's there, but the camera's there. And where they're like strategizing, and then the dude with the helmet shows up and like, hey, all right, cool. I have to see this because I like your style. Stupid. Yeah. But yeah, it was all right.
While we're on cruiserweight division, a bit of news came out this morning.
Okay. News with a Z.
Of a former cruiserweight champion.
Oh, I think I know where you're going, sir.
Who a lot of people owe an apology to.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people.
Okay.
To a certain extent. Because whenever Enzo Amore got cleared of everything he was accused of. Well, they found that there was no proof. They're still in some processes, but they have basically ruled that there's no proof of it. So they're working on the other things about it. But yeah, he's done. The first thing I saw, I was like, I mean, it sounds like something he would do. Because he comes off like a fucking douche.
The guy, Enzo,
yeah. Yeah, you can't be blamed for the way you present yourself. You know, tour bus, you know, strippers are always calling him out, saying he was fucking a disrespectful, too handsy, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you can imagine, like, damn, that sucks. And this girl went in very detail of the story, which sucks, dude, because it was in the middle of that whole Me Too campaign. So, man, dude, this is the first one. He's not even a big celebrity. I don't even think anybody, you know, not that many people know who he is.
Right.
I didn't even see it on TMZ today, that tells you enough. That he was all over TMZ when he got accused of. Whenever he got recused of, he wasn't. Because having seen that personally that being done to somebody before, dude, there's no
what company. Do you mean?
I've seen somebody get accused of something of that sort. Not that bad, but you know.
Like somebody got accused of sexual assault falsely?
Yeah, falsely. Mm. Dude, no matter what, like, dude, once people have their minds made up of it, it's like when freaking Homer and the whenever in The Simpsons, whenever he got accused of touching that girl's butt, but he was just reaching for the Mona Lisa fucking.
Yeah,
gummy bear. Yeah, the gummy bear. It's like once people have that opinion of him, and Homer says it himself, but look, the guy, the menacing song on the TV, you got to believe. And this after he got cleared, we're bringing. Dude, yeah, a lot of his shit is already burnt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why last week he posted a picture of him. Basically, he threw his J's up on a power line saying he didn't say a word. He hasn't said a word yet. His agency,
lawyer.
His lawyer, he said that he's going to move on to his next venture in entertainment.
Right.
Lord knows what that is. Lord,
yeah, who knows what
that is. He's probably going to release a rap CD. Fuck, dude. I mean, it just sucks, dude, that chick. I mean, granted, people were like, oh, then he should be allowed to come back. No. No. Because he knew about it months before he got. According to the release, he found out the day of, but that's got to be bullshit. Because he found out that it was going, like, higher the day he got, like, the day it broke the news or whatever. Hmm. So I think he knew, he just didn't take it serious enough. But still,
man, I don't know, man. That's if I want to even have an opinion.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, me living with two fucking, you know, big time feminists, they will say that oftentimes the judicial system is sometimes broken.
Oh yeah.
Because
dude, I've watched every single episode of SVU.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So like you could accuse somebody and then no proof and then no proof then he's innocent but that doesn't mean he didn't do it
but so. There's one thing I love besides wrestling and my family and football
and your bed and your mom
yeah.
And I'm sorry
yeah that's America. And what I love about America is you're innocent until proven guilty.
True.
And you should be that way.
In a court of law, you're innocent until proven guilty. In a court of public opinion, not necessarily.
Yeah, and that's what sucks.
Yeah, that's what sucks. And see, that's what I was trying to get at. Like, since she didn't have proof, that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't happen, but it also doesn't necessarily mean that it did happen, because I don't know. This was discredit her, which, all right, Enzo's pretty easily discredited as well. Like, neither this chick nor Enzo seemed like they were both people that were on the up and up. Like you said yourself, Enzo's a douche.
He comes off as a douche.
He comes off as a douche.
He's smart. Yeah. If you see him talk, like, he's a well-educated guy. That's why his character comes off as a douche. But Eric Arndt, who is that his name
Arndt,
is?
Yeah.
I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either, man.
That's why it's like you gotta just fuck it and just
yeah.
Shitty circumstances, because I've seen this happen before. A guy gets accused of it, didn't do it.
Yeah.
But people still like, hey, didn't he fucking? No, he didn't. But
I mean, who knows? I mean, because people could go back and forth all day on like fucking, and people did go back and forth all day for goddamn a decade on OJ. OJ was found innocent, so he was innocent. But then they went to the court, the civil court, he was found guilty.
That's true.
And then, like, oh, he wrote this book. So, he should have been innocent, but the book was about how he would have done it if he did do it. But it
now,
was like,
this dumbass came and said, oh, I didn't rape this girl, but if I would have raped
this, this is how I would have done it. Yeah, then, I don't know.
Human nose clean.
But if there is a civil suit,
but as a wrestling fan,
yeah,
I'm glad that this turned out this way.
Okay.
As a dude also, because, like, hey, man. I hope it's true that he, you know, it's all good that he didn't do it, and they came out good, because that means, like, hey, man, we're not all bad, but still, like, fuck, man, it gets you thinking on both ends, like, yeah, how many people get away with doing what he did? Because I've seen again every episode of Law and Order SVU, but man, how many people falsely destroy lives by accusing?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Robert Medlin says this. I think the fact that he never told WWE about it.
Which is exactly why I was like, because you didn't know about it. You knew about it, but your boss didn't know about it?
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of wrestlers that were in trouble with the law, I don't think you know who this person is, but it came out today on News with a Z that Hamada. Who you probably don't know who that is. There's going to be some other people who do. She was a TNA knockout a few years ago. She was actually pretty good. I really liked her. Hamada got arrested in her home and for drugs.
Oh.
She has some sort of drug, but they don't know what. The report didn't say what kind. Okay. And she was apparently high when the cops showed up because she either called herself because something was happening, or somebody called on her because something was happening. So they were just going to show up and do like a welfare kind of check. Like, hey, you okay?
Yeah.
And she was going crazy and being all wild and stuff. And then sure enough, whatever it was, she snorted. That's all that they said. They didn't say what drug it was, but whatever it was, it was just the drug. She injected the marijuana up her butt. Yes.
Damn.
But yeah. Damn.
What a week.
What a week. Now, I would usually at this point in the show ask Chris, hey, what the hell's going on in New Japan? But Chris isn't here, so fuck it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We touched on it with All In.
That's,
Dominion is coming up in a couple
weeks,
too.
That's true, Dominion, yes.
That's pretty much it. This is a time in wrestling where everyone's kind of getting their shit together.
Yeah.
For the summer.
Cool for the summer.
Yeah. Good month. Well, the rest of the month we got left going on here. Memorial Day is coming up in about a week and a half. We were gonna be at WrestlePalooza. Are we?
Comic Palooza. I'm not sure yet.
That's going on in 2 weeks.
Comic Palooza is a thing that's happening.
Yes.
I don't know if we're gonna be a thing that's happening at Comic Palooza, but we'll figure it out.
Stay tuned.
Just because we're not there doesn't mean that you shouldn't go.
Spider-Man's going
to
be there.
If you go, say hi to Robert Medlin. He's going to be there.
Yes. And Chris, maybe.
Yeah. Michael Network says it's going to be a long summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Summer. That being said, adios, my friends. keep it classy.